Good evening. This is Archdeacon Steve West, the parish priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to reflection on this second Sunday in Lent, Year B. Our readings, Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 to 7 and 15 to 16, Psalm 22, Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 4, verses 13 to 25, and the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 31 to 38. Let us pray. The Lord is here, and we will praise Him. The Lord is here, and we will worship Him. The Lord is here, and we will trust Him. The Lord is here, and we will honor Him. The Lord is here, and He has called us to give Him all the glory. Amen. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come because we must. We come because we ought to. We come because we need to. We come because we long to. We come because in you we have a joy and gladness we have never known before. We come because you are the Lord. Amen. Lord, you are the God of truth and grace. You alone know what is in all our hearts and minds. You know where we have fallen short of living lives that bring you glory. We have come to praise you for the promise of new birth. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may all have the joy and power to begin again. In Christ's name, Amen. We have our first hymn, Lord of All Faithfulness, CPWI 449.
Thank you.
Let us pray. We pray the collect for the second Sunday in Lent, followed by our parish prayer. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Jesus Christ, your Son, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness, all to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, When God Makes a Promise. When God makes a promise. In order to repair the brokenness introduced by the disobedience of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, God made a covenant with Noah, never to destroy the world again by a flood. God continues to engage with humankind and identifies Abram, a righteous man, to initiate God's continued attempt to be reconciled with us. As God entered into this new relationship, God made promises. Some of these promises would have seemed to be impossible in human terms, but as we discover, nothing is impossible with God. In Genesis chapter 12, God calls Abram, who was a righteous man who had faith in God. The writer says, Now the Lord said to Abram, which means exalted father, Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. With that request, God makes a promise to Abram. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. I will make you a great nation. That was the promise. Abram was 75 and Sarai, his wife, was 65 years old and was barren and therefore childless. However, Abram trusted God and left the land of his fathers and relocated to the land of Canaan. After living in the land of Canaan for about 10 years and not seeing God's promise fulfilled, and enduring famine and war and continued barrenness, they took things into their own hands. Sarai offered Abram her Egyptian slave girl, Hagar, as the one to fulfill God's promise. In Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, we read, Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bore no children. She had an Egyptian slave girl whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, You see that the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go in to my slave girl. It may be that I shall obtain children by her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. Hagar conceived, and gave birth to Ishmael, whom Abram and Sarai treated as the promised offspring. But that was not God's plan. When Ishmael was 13 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram to reaffirm his original promise to make Abram the ancestor of a multitude of nations, Genesis 17, verse 4, to indicate that God was going to act to fulfill God's promise. God changes Abram's name. God said, "No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you." Genesis 17, verses 5 and 6. Abraham means the father of a multitude. In the fulfillment of God's promise, God designates Abram and makes him the father of a nation to signal that God is about to act on God's promise. God also acts in regard to Sarai. God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and shall give, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her." Genesis chapter 17, verses 15 and 16. Sarah represents the new identity as the mother of kings and nations. God acts to fulfill God's promise. A change of names signified not only a change of identity, but also a change of purpose and destiny. God acts to fulfill God's purpose. The promise was fulfilled. Sarah, at the age of 90, bore a son whom they called Isaac. What may seem impossible to humankind is possible with God. While we may have doubts, God is working God's purpose out. When God denied David the privilege of building a temple to the Lord promised David that when your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. God's promise was fulfilled when Israel under Solomon prospered, and Solomon built a magnificent temple for the Lord. The promise of the establishing the throne of his kingdom forever was fulfilled because the descendants of David were the kings of the southern kingdom of Judah, which survived the assault of the Babylonians, and after a period in exile, returned to rebuild the temple and Jerusalem. God's promise was fulfilled with the birth of Jesus to Mary and Joseph, who were descendants of David. Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, was born of David's line. Jesus, in his earthly ministry, challenged his followers. "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it." Followers of Jesus are required to deny themselves put our mission and ministry for Christ as the top priority in our lives. In our lives, we are to be guided by God's will, not our will. We are to be prepared to give up our plan for our life and follow God's plan. Serious challenges which we cannot fulfill on our own. Jesus responds to the serious challenges faced by his disciples. He said to them, "And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Matthew 28, verse 20. Jesus fulfilled that promise on the day of Pentecost with the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, therefore, is with us. All God's promises to us have been fulfilled. When God makes a promise, it is as good as done. Therefore, we can trust God's word. We can obey God's word and do God's will, for God is faithful and has the power to always fulfill God's promises. Therefore, those who lose their life, that is, give up their plans for their lives, for Christ's sake and the sake of the gospel, will save it. We can stand by that promise. We can live by it. For with God, all things are possible. Amen. Let us pray. God, our refuge and stronghold, we trust in your promise. Jesus, Savior of the world, you embrace the way of sacrificial love. Give your church faith and courage to follow wherever it may lead. Pour us out as a libation in your service. God of all salvation, we trust in your promise. Jesus, Savior of the world, raise up leaders who will dedicate themselves to the common good. In the heat of conflicting convictions, keep them in truth and integrity. May your justice flow. God of all salvation, we trust in your promise. Jesus, Savior of the world, in you all peoples are one. Strengthen the bonds that create a cohesive and peaceful society. We pray for centers of community life. God of all salvation, we trust in your promise. Jesus, Savior of the world, we look to you in our hour of need. Pour out your blessings on all who are ill or weakened, and those recovering from surgery. Fill our hearts with your joy and gladness. God of all salvation, we trust in your promise. Jesus, Savior of the world, in you we find truth and life. Do not be ashamed of us at the hour of our death. When you come in your glory, draw us home to be with you. God of all salvation, we trust in your promise. As our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. Our hymn, CPWI 509, "Take Up Thy Cross," the Savior said. Let us pray. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to conquer the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward save that of knowing we do your will. And in that service, O God, we pray that you will continue to make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord God Almighty, this Lent grant to your people grace to withstand the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and with pure hearts and minds to follow you, the only God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And the blessing of the Lord rest and remain upon all his people in every land and of every tongue. The Lord meet in mercy all who seek him. The Lord comfort all who suffer and mourn. The Lord hasten his coming and give his people peace. by all means. Amen. We pray that you will continue to have a Spirit-filled, rewarding period of Lent, and we hope you will be safe. We end with, "To God be the glory," a medley.